Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Channel Seed podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. As always, I am Chris Williams. We are on location. Generally, we record the Channel Seed podcast each and every week down in the home office. It's in my basement, you know, and I'm sitting down there in my tidy whities, my underwear. I'm stuffing my face with Cheetos and grape soda. That's what us hack bloggers do. Not just kidding. But we're on location. We're actually at the Iowa State women's basketball offices today for the Channel Seed podcast. I want to invite you to visit our friends at channel.com. We'll bring Billy Finley on today. You hear him on our Cycling Fanatic radio shows each and every week throughout the Iowa State women's basketball season. We share a common passion, that is Major League Baseball. We'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit, but we're going to discuss all things Iowa State before. Billy, how are you today?
Doing great, Chris. Thanks for joining us here in our compound where,
nice.
You know, well, we don't wear our tidy whities around here, but
no, and no grape soda. I mean, this is strictly business, although y'all are wearing, like, sweats. Why is it that the basketball coach always wears sweats?
Because
even the men's coaches do that, too.
It's a great question, and it's weird because I get into this question a lot with people because we wear sweats all the time, never wearing jeans, hardly ever wear a polo unless we have a special function. But during games, we're all in suit and tie all the time. And Rhodes is in a hooded sweatshirt. You know, yeah. Belichick's in a hooded sweatshirt. And baseball coaches are in uniform. It's kind of like flip-flops. So maybe our time to relax is when we're not coaching, and then we're supposed to be, like, all professional when we're coaching.
Do you prefer the shorts, or would you like the jeans?
I'm not a big jeans guy. I do like shorts, you know.
Yeah.
I'm usually in full golf attire here in the summer because you never know when somebody might call with an outing or something that I just have to go to.
What are you doing after this?
Well, I don't know.
Clubs are in the back of the truck. I'm ready to roll. Hit up Coldwater.
Let's do it.
All right. How's the swing this year?
Well, it's a work in progress, but I've been hitting it the last couple of days. And, you know, always at the beginning of the year when you're not putting too much thought into it, it's when you're hitting the ball well. So
that's my problem. I'm always playing my best golf, generally not in April, but in May. And then once the weather is, like, consistently nice, that's when I'm screwed. Because that's what I'm, you know, playing 2-3 times a week, and the mind just starts. I defeat myself mentally
Don't get your expectations too high for yourself, Chris. You know, I mean,
I
know you've been working on your game. I know you got some new sticks. You know, you're hitting it a little farther.
Trying to, able to hang in these Cyclone golf outings. And stuff.
You know, like you described yourself, you're just a hack blogger. You don't need to try to be Keegan Bradley or Adam Scott. Just, you know, just do you, and, you know, your game will come.
This hack blogger thing's catching on. I did a Monday Musings thing about it earlier in the week, and I got a lot of Hawk fans that unfortunately agreed with it. But nonetheless, we do need to play. You're a good golfer, though. You are. I play with you. Is there anyone in this building that can hang other than Fred? Fred would just wipe the floor with you.
Yeah. You know, Fred does that with most people.
Who else can hang with
you? I would
you?
Talk a lot of trash to Fred, though, when we were playing. We'll see how that goes.
Could you beat Fred?
I haven't played with Fred in a long time, so I don't know. I probably not, but I would like to talk trash. He would give it back to me, so we would see. He hits it far. That guy's long off the tee.
Does your dad golf?
Yeah. He's who you want in a scramble. Seriously, like if any guys are out there, you're going to outings this summer, whatever, if you get him on your team, don't be disappointed. I know, you know, he gets up the tee, might not be, you know, doesn't necessarily look like Fred Couples up there, but he's going to hit the fairway, he's going to hit the green, and he's going to chip one or two real close, he's going to make a bomb putt for you. He's who you want in a scramble.
He's like the old man golfer.
Yeah. I mean, he's always going to make a bogey or a par. I mean, that's just what he does.
Isn't that what we all should strive to be, though?
Yeah.
I've always thought that because, like, we can make fun of the old man golfer when he's driving at, like, 160, 175, but he's always in the fairway.
Yeah.
He's never having to hit around trees. He's never taking
And at worst, stroke. He's making a bogey.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we've hit three trees and we just took a triple.
Correct. So shouldn't we all?
But we play for that birdie. I tell you what, we play for that birdie
because it always keeps you coming back.
Yeah,
keeps you coming back for more. All right, let's talk a little women's hoops here, Billy. You know, I was looking, doing a little research here because that's what, you know, I'm big into my research before we do the Billy Finley podcast every year. Listen, man, you lose Pops, you lose Prinz. Last year, y'all slowed it down a little bit more, I thought. It wasn't like a traditional Iowa State women's basketball team where you're running around shooting threes. You did plenty of that, but it wasn't like the old days. Now I look at next year's roster, I kind of feel like we may be on the verge of going back to that to be able to watch that in Hilton Coliseum. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think you're right, Chris. I think, you know, obviously when you have two post players like Anna Prinz and Chelsea Poppins, both got drafted. You know, both are leaving this week to go to their WNBA team camps. So, obviously, we'll be watching for them, and hopefully everything goes well for them. But when you have two really good post players, there's only so many things you can do. And don't get me wrong, we're going to miss them like crazy, absolutely. But you're right, you can do a little more when you have more kids who – can handle the ball, more kids who can impact. You know, I mean, just you have interchangeable parts. So we really like the kids we brought in. Obviously, we returned Hallie Christopherson, who Matt Schultz at Cyclone WBB put out a tweet the other day that she returns to the Big 12 as the second leading scorer, second leading rebounder, second in field goal percentage and fourth in rebounding. I mean, it's crazy. So the expectations for her will be high. Unanimous first team All Big 12 kids, so it's great to have her back with Nikki Moody and Bryn Williamson, who are again going to be a year older, who I thought made a huge stride this year.
Yeah,
in a lot of what they did.
And I thought too, Billy, that a girl, Kid Blazkowski, she came on strong. I mean, I just remember some of those road games too, watching them on TV, and just not only was she contributing, but hitting huge shots.
Yeah, you're
late
right.
In games.
You're right, Chris, and I think it was somebody who. You know, as Moody and Williamson took a step forward, we didn't know exactly what we were going to get from Kid. I think she was much better than we anticipated in her freshman campaign, somebody that quickly became a fan favorite and, you know, somebody that now we can hopefully count on, you know, as she moves to be a sophomore.
Buckley excites me, Jada Buckley. I have not seen much from her. Just everything I read a lot of accounts from her at the state tournament this year. Is it too early to anoint her as one of those next Iowa State guards and, you know, put her in the Nikki Moody category? Or I mean, what should we expect from her next season?
Yeah, it's probably not fair to not only her but those other great point guards to do that immediately.
But that's what we do, us media guys.
Right.
You know, we blow things out of proportion.
Exactly. But she definitely comes in very highly touted. Kid that works extremely hard, will be a fan favorite right away and some that our fans have been waiting for 2-3 years because we feel like we've been talking about her for so long. So somebody who, you know, did everything in high school games would score 6 points on a given night and the next night score 25. And, you know, somebody who's just immediate stats like 1,200 high school points doesn't really stand out to you when some of these kids score 4,000 or 5,000 points. But she was always the best player on the court, bar none, a very underrated defender. So she'll allow us to do different things defensively as well as offensively, and somebody who will immediately bring a work ethic and whatever that usually takes kids a couple years to get in college. She already has that.
My favorite thing about your guys' program, I'm a small town guy, Southwest Iowa. I was working back doing radio in Southwest Iowa years ago, and there was a sub-state volleyball match. Where this Christopherson girl, I think it was volleyball. No, it was basketball. Never mind. This Christopherson girl from Exira was playing. And at the time, I think she was only like a sophomore or a junior, but she absolutely dominated. Nonetheless, she ends up signing with Iowa State. Not a whole lot of offers from what I understand. It sounds like a recruitment that was similar to that of Chelsea Poppins. I love the small-town Iowa girls, man. I mean, to me, like, she's just an awesome story. For a lot of people, don't understand how small of a town that absolutely is. And I can tell you, for a matter of fact, on a night-in, night-out basis, she was not playing against very good competition. But to watch her, having seen her play at such a young age, and to see her now in the best league in America is cool for me. I mean, how far has she come since the day she stepped on campus?
Yeah, Chris, it's unbelievable. And like you said, that's somebody who put up those crazy numbers in high school that, you know, but because she was playing against absolutely nobody. I mean, yeah. She was 6'3" and just caught the ball and scored 50 points every night. I mean, but for her to go from that 1A Iowa girls high school basketball to the likes of Oklahoma, Baylor, Kansas, night in, night out, and to be one of four unanimous big all first team all Big 12 is unbelievable.
She did it from the get-go.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like it took her 2 years to figure out who she was. She helped you immediately.
Yeah, she
which
did.
Is what surprised me so much, because I'm thinking, I knew that she had a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
But to go from Exira to the Big 12 and do what she did, to me, that's a phenomenal story. I think it gets overlooked.
Yeah, she had a great freshman year, and somebody that we talked about, I know, going from her freshman to sophomore year as somebody who could make this huge jump. And made a jump, but it wasn't as significant as maybe we hoped in her sophomore year. And then this year was kind of like, okay, you know, whatever. And she just blew everybody out of the water this year. For a kid like her who led our team in three-point shooting, to shoot 55% from the field is unbelievable. I mean, really, when people who, okay, you know, tell me about her, whatever, because she's never really in the limelight, very, very soft-spoken, hardworking kid, never does anything wrong, just comes in, does her work. Like, when I try to compare her to somebody, or I was down at the Final Four, and we're talking to all these All-American committees, and I'm like, this is a kid that is on your radar now, but should be, you know, as she has her senior year. She's a poor man's Doug McDermott.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what she is. She shoots a very high percentage, very efficient, and is very hard to guard because she can post you up. She can take you away from the basket. That's what she is for us, and obviously that's high praise.
A little bit of a George Niang to her.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, as we look towards next year and our team going to be different, we look at the men's team, and, you know, when what they've done with George, being able to bring him away from the block, post him up if you need to, but then you also got four kids around him that can shoot and handle the ball. So we might look a little bit more like those guys next year.
Before we get into baseball, I want to talk a little bit about the Big 12 next year. Now, it's the post-Griner era of the league. They got shocked this year in the NCAA tournament. You guys lose, as a whole, a lot of really good players. For the casual women's basketball fan, I mean, what happens? Is Baylor still the... Because I know, and you know, they've got a lot of girls waiting behind those two, Sims and Griner and whatnot. But what happens to the league? It's still going to be a strong league, but what does it look like here in April when we're recording this post-Brittany Griner, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think, Chris, I mean, I think everybody's going into it knowing that they lost a big piece or pieces, you know, in terms of us, obviously, what we lost. Baylor loses four. They're starting five. Oklahoma loses their second-best player. I mean, go down the list. Kansas loses their three-best player. Kansas State loses their best player. You go down the list. So it was evident by the WNBA draft how great our league was this year and how many of those kids were seniors. So going into next year, there's a lot of, question marks. Okay, you don't have that right in Baylor number one. That's a lock. You knew that every game this year, Baylor was probably going to win. They were going to finish first. And to the point where we had a standings board this year that listed the other nine teams. And whenever a team played Baylor, it did not count as a loss for you. So we had a standings board that we won. I mean, that was our goal this year. We just totally took Baylor out of the equation. We finished second in the league, which was first, obviously, in this other nine-team league that we created. That's not going to be the case next year. We're going to list all 10 teams. Now, where that starts with, I don't know. West Virginia is a team that has a lot back. Lost a couple kids early to ACL. I would say they'll be near the top. Texas was very young this year, new coaching staff. They don't lose much at all. But again, a team that finished ninth in our league. So it's one of those things, you know, good news is you got everybody back. Bad news is you got everybody back.
Yeah.
You know, and then Oklahoma probably got, of the teams who finished in the top four, probably got decimated the least. So they get a couple kids back off ACLs. You know, it's anybody's ballgame. And, you know, it's going to take kids to step up. You know, if we can count on Hallie to be first team all Big 12 again, You know, and Jada Buckley and Nikki and Bryn take another step forward. You know, I like what we're going to put out there every day. And it's going to be a brutal league. You're going to lose games you shouldn't. You're going to win games you shouldn't. But it's going to be fun because every night I really believe that 1 through 10 is going to be competitive. You're not going to just write in Baylor.
Well, and yeah, absolutely. And that's regard. Take Baylor out of the equation. That's pretty much the way the league has been as of late anybody. Anyways, I mean,
yeah.
You guys go to West Virginia, win there. They come here. You know, it was really a topsy-turvy season. And you can name other examples as well. I'm looking forward to it. How quickly, I don't want to talk too much about this, but how big of a shock, though, was that for Baylor to actually lose when they did at the NCAA tournament? I mean, I saw some people, you know, trying to compare it to the men's game or whatever. And you don't have to do that, but from where you were sitting, somebody who's obviously extremely close to the situation, how surprised were you when that happened?
Yeah, I mean, I was very surprised. Obviously, just like everybody else who filled out a bracket, you know.
That ruined my bracket.
Yeah, I mean.
99% of everybody else.
I had Baylor winning it. But, you know, it's one of those things where I think it is comparable in a sense. Like, they compared it in the women's game to when Stanford was a 1 seed and lost to a 16 seed in the late 90s. You know, that's only happened once in the women's game. Never happened in the men's game. But it's something where, you know, they're like, oh, Louisville, this great game plan, you know, whatever. Okay, so they sat 3 people on Griner. They forgot to mention that they were 16 for 25 from the three-point line.
That, you know, helps.
In a team that shoots 28% on the season. Doesn't hurt. You know, I mean, if anybody watched that game, some of the stuff they were throwing up, you're just like, wow, this is just happening. It's
close your
happen.
Eyes and chuck it, baby.
And Baylor comes all the way back to take the lead with 9 seconds to go. And so it was a crazy game. I think it was good for our sport, obviously being a Big 12 member. You know, you want to see your teams do well. We had back-to-back national champions in our league. So you want to see that happen. But for our game as a whole, you know, it's nice to get some other teams in there, even though Louisville's had a lot of success recently. But, you know, I sure know that Connecticut and Notre Dame were surely rooting really hard for Louisville.
I thought it was great for the sport. I mean, watching Twitter, for instance, I mean, now you can get a really instant gauge on what America thinks about something. Not very often in the women's game is a women's basketball game taking over Twitter. That one absolutely did. And on top of that, I mean, I watched that from tip to tip. And that was one of the best sporting events I've seen all year.
Yeah,
I mean, football, men's basketball, NBA, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. To me, that was one of the most entertaining sporting events I have seen in the calendar year. I really, you can't say it, but I will. I was rooting against Baylor heavily. I had my Louisville T-shirt on that night. I was going nuts. I was going nuts and down there in Bondurant.
There you go.
Yeah, we had a good time. How about we talk a little baseball?
Let's do it.
All right. So the question I have for you today is not – because I think we all – it's a given that the Braves are going to win the World Series this year. It's not if they're going to win, but by how much. I mean, is this a – did they even lose a game in the playoffs? I mean, did they – or, you know, is the AL team going to take them to 5 games potentially? And that's a pretty big but. That's a pretty big if when we're talking about the World Series. Again, not will the Braves win it all, but how bad do they make everybody else look in the process? How would you react to that?
Well, as we stand here, April 30th.
Yeah.
2 days after my birthday, so I should know that.
Well, it's 2 days after your birthday?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how did I not know that?
Well,
happy birthday.
It didn't come up on your email?
No.
Well, yes.
Why would it come up on my email?
Well, I mean, your message, you know, your calendar, you know, you hack bloggers don't have somebody doing your calendar for you?
No.
I mean, the Braves start 12-1. So, I mean, as of April 16th.
Yeah.
I mean, you're absolutely right. Nobody's going to touch them, whatever. As they stand now, they have gone 4-9. 4-9 their last 13 games.
Billy, do you realize?
Starting to look like the team that
a lot of injuries.
Been.
I mean, Freddie Freeman's barely even played this year. Brian McCann hasn't even taken a pitch. I mean, come on. Here's the thing about the Braves. They're either going to beat you 10-0 or you're going to beat them 10-0. It's feast or famine with this team this year. They're going to strike out, or they're going to hit a lot of home runs.
I do like the Upton brothers. I'll give you that.
Well, yeah.
And the NL East is probably by far, and not probably, is by far the most overrated division in baseball.
Back the truck up just for a minute. How can you say that?
Well, everyone was rated. Everyone had a little natitude early in the year. They're like, hey, not me. The Nats, this is their team. They're going to win the World Series.
That's ridiculous.
They are who we thought they were, the Nats.
They are, like, to me, and obviously a little bias here, but it's like just being like, well, the Arizona Cardinals are going to throw together couple good seasons. It ain't happening in the National Football League, okay? The right. Nationals are the same way. But they're better than the crap team you're making them out to be.
Well, yeah, but they're not delivering any World Series rings anytime soon to these
guys. I would agree.
Like they were.
But it's hard, though. I mean, when you have such a good team ahead of you, like the Braves, I mean, I think they're an emotionally frail franchise. You know, they've been in the Braves' footsteps for how many years now? It's yeah. You know,
until last year.
They're just little.
Until last year. When they're
not
came
even
through.
They're not even little brother. They're and, that. And
there was this little team from the NL Central who's probably the closest thing to a baseball dynasty right now. That would be the Cardinals.
Oh, jeez.
Who decided to run through the Braves in this one-game playoff deal. Then decided to run through the Nats.
Let me ask you
the
something.
The Nats just gave them that.
Before we get there, can you honestly look me in the eye today and tell me that the Braves did not get jobbed in that? Well, don't even call it a playoff. Just call it a play-in game because that's what it truly is. Can you honestly look me in the eye and say, had that happened to the Cardinals, you just would not have been furious?
Oh, absolutely. I would have been furious.
Yes, it was a bad call.
Bad call. I'm not sure. I cannot look you in the eye and say that changed the outcome of the game.
Neither can I, and I will agree with you there because we don't know what would have happened at that point.
It's like the Cubs saying they would have won the World Series if Bartman wouldn't have whatever.
No, you don't know that.
Meanwhile, Alex Gonzalez boots the next ball, and they give up 9 more runs at inning.
Correct. I do not know that. But I do know that the Braves likely would have at least tied the game at that point in time.
I'd have to go back. I'm not sure if they would have tied or been down.
The only thing I remember about that is I was a little hazy. All right. You know, that was a Friday afternoon game. I had a couple cold Busch Lights.
And the fans at Turner Field just decided to make it a trash dump.
So
I mean, they just were raining trash on the field.
My buddy Adam Gray, who does sales for us here, he's a Braves fan too. And we were watching it in my basement. And my basement, I mean, it was a microcosm of Turner Field. The obscenities being cursed, the just overall just venom coming from us. And then, so I'm on Twitter, right, and I'm making my presence felt via the World Wide Web, and your little brother Steven starts popping off to me.
Of course.
He starts popping off to me with all of his Cardinals propaganda about, oh, St. Louis fans would never do that. We're way too classy. B.S. B.S. I've been to St. Louis, man. A couple of drunk guys followed me all the way back to my car after the Braves had lost, doing the tomahawk chop, just harassing me. Oh, they followed me for like a mile. Actually, they were pretty funny dudes. But nonetheless,
it's a tough time.
You can't say, oh, the Cardinals fans wouldn't have chucked stuff onto the field.
I mean, the best part about that is we'll just never know. And we don't need to know. And it doesn't really matter.
I'll say this. I give Cardinals fans a hard time, mainly because it seems like all of my really close friends are Cardinals fans. And a lot of like people I'm just acquainted with are Cardinals fans. So I'm hearing it constantly from that. But it's a heck of a place to go watch a game. You can't be – like I really think, I mean, St. Louis as far as just walking around and pre- and post-game atmosphere, the only place I'll compare it to is Fenway. I think Fenway's got a pretty special aura around it.
Yep.
But St. Louis is pretty top-notch.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to go down there, and they're finally building up that area around there. So – you know, it's going to be even better. But, you know, that's what makes baseball so fun because you get 162 times a job at people. And it's in the summer when nothing else is going on. And, you know, we get 162 regular season games that really don't mean too much as long as your team sneaks into the playing game.
That's why I'm not too interested in your 4-9 statistic.
Yeah, you know, and that's why I'm not too interested. The Cardinals have lost 3 straight.
Yeah, I don't need to bring that up.
They're a half game back of the Pirates.
You're behind the Pirates? That's pathetic.
But I'm looking here. Okay, let's go to the AL for a second.
All right.
Let's go to the AL.
You can just take this podcast and run with it now. It's all you. You're on the one chair.
So we go to the American League, and the question is, when the Braves and the Cardinals play in the NLCS, who will be in the ALCS?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and you're looking here, I'm just pulling up these standings because I don't follow the American League because it's not real baseball.
I don't follow it either. That's no. See, it's an issue for me to
– anytime that a guy doesn't have to field his position and doesn't – and gets to hit, that's a problem.
Yeah, what is this, amateur hour?
You know, so.
It's Bush League.
Yeah.
I think the Royals have a shot.
The Royals are, they got, another great stadium, by the way.
I love the K. Going down there for the Braves series in June, Braves are actually, for the first time ever, playing in Kauffman Stadium. That'll be kind of neat.
Great place to watch a game.
I think they're better than people actually are giving them credit for.
I agree. And also a very subpar division.
It's but terrible.
I think
almost worse than the NL Central, which is hard to believe because it's the weakest division in all of professional sports.
Wow.
It's horrible.
That's a stretch.
Make an argument for me for a division in professional sports worse than the NL Central. See, if the Braves played the NL Central, they would win 120 games this year, Billy. They would win 120 games this year if they were in the NL Central.
The NL Central last year, agreed. The Astros have moved. It's a big difference. We don't get 19 games against the Astros anymore. Now we get 19 against the Cubs.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
But the Reds are a solid group. Milwaukee.
That's a good point about the Astros. I was not considering that.
It's a big difference.
That's a huge difference. Okay, last year.
Last year.
Okay, put the Braves in this year's Braves team in last year's NL Central. They would have won 135 games, Billy. 135.
Well, if I had my stat guy here, I would pull up the Braves record against the NL Central from last year. But since I have no idea what it was.
No, I'm saying this year's Braves team. We're going straight hypothetical here.
Well, this year's Braves team against last year's NL Central. Okay.
Welcome to the world of sports commentary. There are no rules, okay? You completely bend things to fit your argument, and that's what I'm doing.
I wish that worked in real life.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm just a hack blocker.
Anyways, right. So American League.
Correct.
ALCS. Here it is. Tigers. I think the Tigers are the AL champs.
Tigers just swept.
I really don't even care who they play.
I just got a good look at them last weekend. I watched them play a couple times. They swept the Braves, shot them out a couple times. They got the pitching, Anibal Sanchez.
They
coming
got the
up.
Best 3-4 in baseball.
Did you see Anibal Sanchez fan 17 Braves the other night? 17.
Well, when you get both Uptons, that's at least 8.
You got both Uptons, and then, you know, Hayward, he strikes out. I don't think he even played in that one, but nonetheless, he's a strikeout guy, too. I mean, really the only guy on that roster who you're, like, barely Gattis right now at catcher, he strikes out all the time. Freeman's really the only guy who you're like, yeah, he's probably not going to whiff. But the rest of those guys, I mean, they're just closing their eyes and swinging as hard as they can, which I like. It's fun to watch.
Better than hitting into a double play.
Correct. It's fun to watch. I mean, there have been a lot of games already this year where that long ball has made for some pretty dramatic endings at Turner Field.
Right.
Which I'm a big fan of. So you...
I'm going Tigers.
You're just going straight Tigers.
I don't even care.
You're not even going to discuss anybody else.
I'm going to discuss somebody else. A team that...
Pujols?
No, absolutely not.
It's your boy?
I do want to discuss him. But a team in that division that everybody, you know, everybody jumps ship. Everybody goes from the Rangers to the Angels. Well, guess what? The Rangers are in first place yet again. All they do is win. And, you know, they can lose Josh Hamilton. They can lose C.J. Wilson. They just send them right over their division rivals, who the Angels are a cool 9-16 right now.
Yeah, but they did this at the early part of last year, too. They came on.
Yeah, but they didn't make the playoffs?
They did not make the playoffs, but they got better.
Yeah, well.
I'm just saying, it's too early to count the Angels out. There's too much time. I'll say this, though. Is there more of a team like in the majors to just flat-out dislike than the Angels, though?
No.
Honestly, and I don't even – like, last year I remember coming in here and just totally trolling you with the Pujols thing. But, like, when you factor in that and then the Hamilton thing now, it's like, man, they're like the new era Yankees.
Here's a great story. So my brother's out in L.A., and he was out there visiting. He ended up in Anaheim. And So he didn't have tickets. This is a week ago. True story.
Okay.
It's a true story. Anaheim played the Tigers. Like, I don't know exactly. Week ago-ish. And he's like, I'm going to try to find tickets. They say it's easy to get tickets. I'm like, Angels, Tigers should be a tough ticket. You know, you would think.
One would think.
If you were supporting your team. It's
correct.
Like a Saturday Fox game. Okay?
Yep.
And after the first inning, now, you know, a good veteran move by him to wait till after the first inning for the scalpers to start dumping their tickets.
Solid play.
He gets a ticket for $8, and he's 19 rows up from first base. I mean, he
wow.
takes a picture of Prince Fielder, who, by the way, owns Pujols. I mean, that's a battle of first base that's just won by Prince Fielder every day in that game.
This is pretty fairly biased opinion by you right there, but go on.
But I think it's accurate at this stage. But anyways, you're thinking to yourself, the Angels have spent $2.5 billion on this roster. You think you could get some fans to show up, especially on a Saturday when it's 80 degrees against the Tigers? You could be looking at what a lot of people thought would be the ALCS.
Did you see the Marlins game last night?
But that's the Marlins.
No, but did you see the people there?
No.
There was like 25 people there. There was this, it went viral on Twitter. I'm not kidding. You have to Google it. Some guy took a picture from like the upper deck or something. I mean, there's literally like 25 people there.
Wow.
But the thing, there's a lot going on in L.A., though. You know, they've got the movies and all that. I mean, it's just not real relevant anymore.
Yeah, I mean.
You're so used to the baseball town, though.
Yeah, you're right.
Think of all the empty ballparks nowadays.
Yeah, it's sad.
Meaning the Braves, the Braves have a horrible local fan base. Braves are national because of the TBS and what. That's why I'm a Braves fan.
Right.
And you go to Busch Stadium when the Braves are in town, there's Braves fans everywhere. That's the case wherever they travel. Atlanta fans, in general, though, stink. I mean, that's their reputation. But then if you compare it to half the other clubs in baseball, I mean, they look like a bunch of saints. I mean, look at, like, Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's the Angels. They're actually trying to win, unlike some
you
of these other franchises.
You would think after, you know, they just
$8.
Signed every all-star that was a free agent in the last 5 years.
That's a good move on Steve's part, though.
Yeah.
Did he just go by himself, or did he have friends?
He had a buddy that he was with. But
I was going to say, because that was, I mean,
it's
good stuff out of him, though.
Yeah. But, okay, so we got ALCS. not the Angels. I got Rangers, Tigers.
I'm going to go... I won't cut against the grain here. I won't go with the Angels. There's too much talent.
Okay.
And I hate them. I don't like them.
Against
my buddy,
the Tigers?
Yeah, I got the Angels and the Tigers, yeah.
And you got the Angels winning?
No, I have the Tigers winning. Because the Tigers, I think that their pitching and whatnot is even better than we're giving them credit for.
So
dude, after
we got
watching
a rematch of 2006, Tigers-Cardinals World Series.
No, I think that the Atlanta Braves are going to be in the World Series this year. I told my wife before the year, I said, honey, because this is kind of where I'm at on the sports thing. And I think a guy in your situation would probably somewhat understand. When you cover sports for a living, and not just Iowa State, though. I mean, I do the auto racing thing. When you do it for a living, when you don't have to, when you can just sit and watch a game and enjoy it, and know that you're not going to have to write about it. There's a different way to approach it, if mm-hmm. that makes any sense.
You probably drink a couple more Busch Lights. That's
yeah,
what you're
correct.
Saying.
And you can be more of a fan. And when it comes to being a fan, like I go nuts about the Braves and the Vikings because it's more just like, okay, it's a Sunday, I'm going to go kick my feet up. And I told my dad back in 2000, and I mean it to this day, I'll never see the Vikings win a Super Bowl in my entire lifetime. This is never going to happen. Ever. 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 Not going to happen. Capiche?
Okay. Well, they just had, like, the greatest draft ever.
It doesn't matter. A couple of those guys will flame out. They're going to make some bad decisions. AP's knees are going to get rusty, and they're going to have to completely start over again. Been there, done that. They'll never win a Super Bowl.
Okay.
I don't remember ever feeling this close to a world championship from one of my teams than I do with the Braves right now. I told her, I said, Ash, you know, I know you get annoyed with baseball season because it's like a constant soap opera with me. That's how it is. Mm-hmm. That's what to a diehard baseball guy, and I don't consider myself a diehard baseball guy. I consider myself a diehard Braves guy.
Right.
But if you follow it day in, day out, it is like a soap opera that lasts 162 days.
Right.
Yep. Because, you know, guys get hurt. Guys go into the minors. We're going to make a trade. There's constantly moving parts. And that's what's intriguing about Major League Baseball to guys like you and me. And I said, Ash, dude, like, I can feel it this year. There's something different. There's something different. They got the swag. And you all know how important it is in sports. You got to have confidence, don't you?
Yep.
You can be if LeBron James had LeBron James's talent, but he wasn't confident in his own ability, he wouldn't be LeBron James.
I agree.
And I've got that confidence in my team this year.
So if they go to the World Series, are you going?
But that's hard because it's football season for me. I think we got to make a move, though. Yeah, I think I got to get to game one.
Yeah, we got to put it out there.
I think I have to. Because that's, like, to me, bucket list. I've never been to Turner Field.
If the Braves make the World Series, we will write an article on Cyclone Fanatic, and it's donate to send a hack blogger to game one. And we'll all donate, and we'll fly in there, fly it back for the game. You know, you're going to do it right, you know. Accommodations
first
right
class.
There at the Marriott in Atlanta.
I've never been to Turner Field.
Really?
I think that might change this summer. I think I'm going to do a weekend trip and maybe going by myself, which how big of a loser is that? My wife's a hard working woman, though. Like I can't.
Somebody's got to support your habits.
Correct. And I'm thinking about going this, but my dream, though, and it wouldn't be the same like if I go there in July compared to the atmosphere there during a playoff game. You saw it. With the little play-in game last year. Mm. I mean, how loud was the chop?
Oh, yeah.
Before, I mean, it's insane.
Yeah. Playoff baseball is so much different.
Oh,
not
gosh. Yeah. It's.
But you got to at least get down there and, you know, make sure you know where you're going when you come back for the World Series. Supposedly.
Correct. So, yeah, I think I'm gonna make that move. I think I might do that. We should do the...
You should just make a swing and we'll have somebody, you know, we'll start... We're looking for an advertiser to support our swing. We'll get a camper, and we're going to make our rounds.
RV. We'll get an RV
we're
company
gonna rate
to sponsor.
Every ballpark, food, fan experience, game atmosphere, all the way down the list.
Funny you say that. I've never really talked about this publicly, but you just led into it. So when I had just graduated college, and obviously I was looking for a job. At this point in time, this has been my first real job out of college. I had prior experience at other places, but nothing that could pay the bills. And I applied for a gig at the time, and I don't even remember what it's... Basically, it was an extension of CBS, their college sports network thing at the time online, where it's called the Road Trippers. And basically, your job is for like... I want to say it's like 60, the entire college football season, you go from one campus to another every single day, creating like content on these campuses and what they're doing. You know, what's cool to see. Oh, I'm going to Mississippi State today. This is what you got to check out. And you go to a different stadium every Saturday and whatnot. And Bloom, you know Bloom,
mm-hmm.
We were like finalists to get this gig. The problem, though, I'm pretty sure, man, this is back in like 2007, but it was like hardly paid at all. No, I mean, it was a cool gig of what based off of what you got to do, but I mean, it wasn't a very lucrative deal whatsoever. In fact, we probably would have lost money on the situation. But now that I look back at it and I'm 28 and it's like, we really should have pursued that. How sick would that have been?
That would have been unbelievable. I mean,
I've always thought,
okay, somebody, now I mean, in my profession, we can't because we got to try to find some players for next year, but somebody should have an RV, and I mean, we're not ashamed of putting a couple logos on an RV.
No, we're shameless.
We are not above that at all, and I mean, in fact.
Wilson Toyota of Ames.
Yeah, you know, and we might even have a Toyota camper. You know, I don't see why we wouldn't.
Might as well.
Yeah, and we will just go.
We'll paint Tron's face on
Minnesota,
the side of it.
Milwaukee, Chicago, Cleveland, Cincinnati. I mean, just you make the loop, you plan it out, and you're broadcasting live.
The road show.
From every place, yeah.
So when your basketball coaching career is over, whenever this may be, even if you're 70, because we're the same age.
It'll be before that.
We need to get this done.
I agree.
We need to. I mean, we could totally do it. We'll buy out some time on a local radio station. We'll upsell the advertising. There you go.
Yeah, all I'm trying to do is pay for my dog and beer. That's really all that matters.
I know people at Busch Light. I do. I know people.
All right.
Do they drink that down in St. Louis? Because I know, like, the whole Anheuser-Busch thing's down there.
Yeah, it's more, I mean, might be a little classier, but, you know.
I'm not worried about classy. Classy's not really my, I'm not concerned.
Yeah, I know that wasn't a big deal at Shenandoah.
And I'm not from Shenandoah. I used to work in Shenandoah. Everybody thinks I'm from Shenandoah. By saying that, who's Ames' biggest rival?
Probably Marshalltown.
Okay. So, like, it would be like me saying that you're from Marshalltown.
Okay, I'm sorry.
When people say that but that happens all the time, Billy. I am from Clarinda.
Clarinda. I knew you worked in
Shenandoah. Capital of Page
County.
But
the very first drink you had was in Shenandoah.
No, that was in Ames. That was definitely in Ames during the college years. Man. All right, so World Series, I've got the Tigers and the Braves. You have the Tigers and the Braves.
No, I don't think I have the Braves because, I mean.
You really think the Cardinals can beat the Braves?
Yeah.
Honestly, like.
In the playoffs.
Be objective. Don't be a homer here.
Well, that's tough to do because you just told your wife a week ago that the Braves are going to win the World Series. I mean, April 20th.
I told her that before the season started. Get it right. I hadn't even seen them play yet.
Clearly, if your team makes the playoffs, it's a free game.
Correct.
We've seen that, okay? I mean, the Cardinals end up blowing a 3-1 lead to the Giants, or they would have been in back-to-back World Series.
But don't you feel like the Cardinals have gotten so lucky for so long that eventually it has to run out? With all these little April runs they've been... I mean, that's not like they're better than people. It's just they're getting hot at the right time. It's not...
I mean, would you call that luck, or would you call that getting hot at the right time?
Well, I think it's a combination of both.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you'd rather have the Braves go start 11-1 in September than in April.
Correct. But is that – how much of that is by design and how much of that is, well, it's coincidence. They just happen to start playing well.
They got people who know how to win. They know what they're doing. Matt Holliday's batting .270 right now. He's not worried about that at all. David Freeze, .170.
So you're saying Matt Holliday's just slacking off for the people paying their hard-earned money to go watch it?
Absolutely not. But
does he just not care about the fans who are paying to go watch
it? It's not like he's not trying to get a hit. He knows. But those guys will be ready. And Tony La Russa was a great manager at giving guys days off. That's why you always saw a different lineup. Matheny's been doing the same thing. Beltran... he won't wear Beltran out. Those guys will be ready when they need to be ready.
I'm a big Beltran guy. I like him. Yeah. I like Carlos a lot. Being a Royals guy.
Yeah.
So I'll say this. I think the Royals have a better chance to represent the AL than the Cardinals do the NL.
Wow.
No, I'm just trolling you there, obviously. I'm just throwing salt.
I know. We gotta throw something out here that it's a feasible... It's a quantifiable little friendly wager we can do here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to think about that. I do enjoy the quality Cardinals Braves smack on Twitter with the Fennelly family, though. It's always fun. Your dad doesn't ever respond. I try and get him riled up, but I think he's just more, you know, he doesn't take the bait like you and Steve do.
Yeah, well, you know. He doesn't mess with hack bloggers. Clearly I do. You know,
exactly.
It's one of my things that I enjoy doing in my free time. Steve is so easy to set off.
You just like hanging, running with the riffraff.
Yeah.
Steve's a hoot. I like getting him going on the Cardinals. It's fun.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, too? I remember having this conversation with Steve. It was at, I think it was at Johnny's. We were in Johnny's. Some event at Hilton It may have been halftime of like a men's basketball game. I had to go in there and talk to an advertiser or something. And I bumped into Steven, and they had, the Braves had just signed the first Upton. And I told him, I go, I think they're going to try and sign the other Upton. Oh, the look on Steve's face. It's like he wanted to jump ship.
He loves the Uptons.
He does love the Uptons.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed by his just passion for those guys.
Yeah, Steve's a big baseball guy. Yeah. He loves the Uptons. He always has. And there was a little rumor for a little while that the Cardinals were trying to get in on that gig.
Really?
On the Uptons. But obviously, you know, the Braves enticed him a little more. You know, I mean, because they probably would have been bench players for the Cardinals.
Oh, it was a good move for them.
They would have combined to be one position.
With that arrogance, I think it's a good time to break. Billy, thanks for joining.
Chris, I appreciate it, man.
We had fun. Maybe we should do a mid-season one of these, too.
Yeah, we'll get caught up. Both our teams will be like 10 games back. Exactly. We'll be, all right, and the Royals, yeah, we went with them in April.
The Braves are going to be on pace to strike out more than any team in the history of Major League Baseball, which is actually, unfortunately, fairly realistic. So, good talking to you. Best of luck on the recruiting trail this summer, and we'll be in touch, all right?
Appreciate it, Chris.
Billy Fennelly here on today's Channel Seed Podcast. It's CycloneFanatic.com. Check them out at channel.com. So long, everybody.